What's really important is, did you build a company that the guys can afford to buy a new truck when they need it? They can take care of their family, they can have kids, and you know, they can afford health insurance, all those kind of things. And actually,
hello, construction industry professionals. You're listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to help grow your business. Here are your hosts, Devin and Kevin.
All right, Kevin, we're going to dive in and have a fireside chat with Ken Patton, who's the general manager of Rise Construction LLC. And I want to have him in the studio, MVWD, because he is one of our key partners that we've been working with from that 30,000-foot view down to where the rubber meets the road. And hopefully we can shed some life and maybe some strategies of what we've done to help the whole construction industry come together.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. And I kind of look at the relationship with Rise as kind of a strategic partner, if you will. I mean, and I say that because it's not somebody that we're working with because we have to or because it was kind of a forced situation. It's one of those things that organically evolved into a circumstance that is really a win-win for both sides. And I think that's exciting for our listeners to hear a little bit more about today.
Yeah, and I challenge some people to listen to this and then maybe go back to the beginning. As all companies evolve and change, just like the Art of Construction, we've kind of been talking about how you build and truly grow your business. And this is one where I kind of want to peel back some layers and talk through about really kind of finding your why and where you go as you evolve, because we're both companies that have been in business for 4 years, 3 to 4 years. And so we're at that phase that I say there's the business infancy phase, that is that kind of 0 to 5 years. And then there's that 5 to 10 year phase. And that's where a company really makes it or breaks it, because they better take and find something what they want to do and they better execute that. And the only constant is change. And if you truly want to scale up a business to where you're not totally in the business every day, and as the leadership and the owner working on the business, you better scale that up enough to where your company can have your own legs. And by doing that, you got to be really good at a few things and not be all things to all people.
Absolutely.
I'm Devin Tilley. My day job is the president owner of a window and door supplier called Mountain View Window and Door, and the host here of The Art of Construction.
And I'm Kevin Keefe, co-host of Art of Construction, as well as the sales manager and chief relationship officer here at Mountain View Window and Door.
So let's dive in and have a chat with Ken from Rise Construction. What's your favorite beverage?
My favorite beverage?
Yeah.
Gin and tonic.
All right.
Any particular flavor of gin? Because gin is one of those kind of interesting alcoholic beverages, it comes from a lot of different specialty items. So
it does. I don't get too into it. I like Bombay Sapphire. That Hendrix makes an awesome gin, and I love to load it with lime.
There you go. What's a favorite place you've traveled?
Oh, just almost anywhere in the Caribbean. I'm a real avid scuba diver and instructor, and I've had an opportunity to travel quite a few places in the world and do a lot of really cool scuba diving trips.
All right, what's the coolest thing you've seen scuba diving?
Done a number of shark dives. I've also done a number of wreck dives. We actually went and dove the U-352 submarine offshore in the Atlantic, Outer Banks, you know, off North Carolina out there. It's actually a real German sub that was sunk in World War II by the U.S. Coast Guard, and we had an opportunity to go down there and actually go inside it, which was fascinating. It was great. We went with a team of really experienced divers.
So I don't need to ask your favorite hobby, which is probably scuba diving.
Scuba diving.
How long you been doing that?
Probably maybe 2000, 2001, something like that.
What made you get into it?
A buddy of mine talked me into it. And
when you got hooked.
I got hooked big time. Yeah, I went through and I actually worked for A1 Scuba for quite a while. In fact, Shane has a great podcast that they do, too. They call him Scuba Shane.
Okay.
He's the son that's taking over the operation now, but I've gotten to know them really, really well over the years.
There you go. So if you're in the construction industry and into scuba diving, what's the name of the podcast?
A1 Scuba.
A1 Scuba is the company. We'll put in the show notes, we'll put a reference to a podcast for listening to scuba diving, because that's the cool thing about this, and that's why we always ask those questions first before we really get to know Ken Patton, who is the general manager for Rise Construction. But that's the cool thing, is if we first want to learn about your passion and you, tell us about your experiences in the construction industry and then what you do with Rise Construction.
So I started in the construction business very, very early. In high school, I went out for summers and worked for my uncle, who was a large general contractor out in California. We built bridges, did water treatment overhaul for the city of Auburn, California. We did a lot of water and sewer work. Got to play with some dynamite, which was really fun. You never grow out of blowing stuff up. That's a, maybe a guy thing, but it was a lot of fun. Spent next several years out of high school, went, of course, went to college. I have a degree in business, emphasis in accounting and finance. So I'm a little bit of a numbers guy, but go figure why I got in the construction business. But I spent a lot of time at public service company in the facilities and real estate area, developing large service centers, office remodels, that type of stuff. We were handling some pretty large projects, some high-rise type stuff that we did, remodeled. One of our projects, we remodeled 14 floors simultaneously in the 17th Street Plaza building, which was a huge project. And then left there when about the time Excel started and started my own company. And I've had two different construction companies, two development companies. And, you know, we started those from the ground up, built them up, sold them off, and then moved on. And then started with Rise a few years ago. They kind of brought me out of semi-retirement and put me back to work again, which was fun. That's where we met you guys. And my role with Rise Construction is, Devin, you'd said, is a general manager. I'm really kind of the numbers end. I play more of a CFO role with that and oversee all the large commercial projects.
So tell us about the companies that you, were they specific? Because I'm looking at your shirt with Rise and it just says commercial and residential. And it couldn't be any more general of a statement if that's what your shirt says. What did you do in your previous companies versus Rise now that... it's just that your website and everything says, we'll do it. We'll do everything. Construction, we are everything.
Correct. We do tackle a lot of stuff within Rise. My background was building my first company. We built nothing but ground up. That was probably 90% of the business. The market was pretty hot at that point. We did a lot. We were probably one of the bigger pre-engineered contractors, even in the state of Colorado, putting up pre-engineered steel buildings, mostly office warehouses, industrial parks. That was our product. My development company, we did the same thing, but we bought ground. We did a little bit of spec building. We did build to order, that type of stuff. The second company was after the market kind of nosedived, and a lot of the guys from the first company were looking for a job again. So we started kind of a fix and flip type thing, and then that gradually grew back into commercial operations. And then I got out of that and was out of that. Actually, was just consulting for a few years and then started back with Rise here about almost 3 years ago.
So what's your take on Rise that is everything to everybody? Because if you were to go back and listen to this podcast, our message is all about be really good at a few things and not try to be everything to everybody.
Agreed.
You're into the studio, so I kind of have to call you and Rise out to say we are everything and to say, how does that work?
We really aren't everything. We have a sizable windows division that we work with Mountain View quite a bit. We don't focus too much on residential and thus their heavy structural projects. We specialize in doing some heavy structural type things, jacking up houses. We're kind of moving away from doing bathroom remodels, kitchen remodels, that type of stuff, partly because it's really not our wheelhouse. We do a much better job with the larger commercial projects, the tenant finishes, that type of work.
So if I'm hearing you right, Rise is 3 years old, right?
Correct.
As a company. So as a new company, you kind of go out and do a bunch of things and say you're everything to everybody. And I use the philosophy or concept of learn by doing. It's like when I hire a sales rep, we have all these products in our showroom, and we don't just go through and say, here's 3 weeks of training, you're going to learn, quote unquote, every product, because you're just not going to do it. It's drinking out of a fire hydrant. So it's the opposite. It's about putting a platform out there and say, go out, develop a relationship like you guys, Ben, who on your team, and I want to talk about that, how he solidified the relationship with Adam, who's one of our sales reps that reports to Kevin here at Mountain View Window and Door. And the point is they went out and found the relationship, and then you build your company off of those projects when you're a new company. But I think as you have a really good plan and you go down a hallway, when a door opens, you take it. But you can't just take every door either, right?
Correct.
So that's what I kind of want to talk about today. I think the three of us are kind of that 30,000-foot view in our day-to-day life as far as you're the general manager. And when you have the word general in front of you, it's kind of like general contractor. You're the numbers guy. That's your forte for the company. But you're all over the place, just like Devin at Mountain View Window and Door. I'm at the top of the organizational chart and the bottom. And then I'm able to, as I build the company up, like we announced that Kevin has got promoted to sales manager, it all comes in time. And that's what we like to talk about on the Art of Construction. It's not just when you say the playbook or a textbook. when we both went to school for business, well, you learn theories and stuff in school, but in the real world, you learn by doing. And I think that's kind of cool about this episode and why we wanted to have you in, because right now we're in that kind of, my company is 4 years old. I bought an existing company. You came to work for a new company, but you've been existing in this industry for, same with Kevin, was a contractor that came to work as a sales rep and now as the sales manager. We're all here kind of working on the business, and we have these people working in the business. And I think people listening today that have listened to a lot of the shows will really like to hear that, to say, how do you get from working in the business to working on the business? And when you're working on the business, what do you do? So I'd love both of your kind of concepts, how that went as far as our sales reps and what you think we did right, what we did wrong, and where we're at today.
Well, certainly looking at any business, you got to pull yourself out of the day-to-day to kind of be able to see it. I mean, we talk about it from that 30,000-foot view, and whether it's 10 feet or 30,000, the reality is you just kind of have to get away from the day-to-day task functions, mastering those things to be able to see, well, how can I navigate? And I'm sure for you, Ken, in a company that's now 3 years old, even with all of your collective background, you've taken in business and then you kind of navigated to things that you can now see that are really going to be your bread and butter, your kind of staple business. So talk a little bit about how that started, the differences between, say, when you all began 3 years ago with this new arrangement to what you're seeing now and what you see yourselves going to in the future here.
I can't agree more. I think there's a process that you go through where when you first start these businesses, you have your head down and it's a little bit like the horses with the blinders on. You can't see the bigger picture that's going on. Rise went through a transition. They were really engulfed in a lot of residential work right in the beginning. When I came on board, I brought a lot of commercial background. I also brought along, we actually hired Greg Bodie, who was one of my lead construction managers from one of my very first companies that I've stayed in touch with. He's highly qualified, but it allowed us to then start shifting things into more of a commercial market. We hired Ben, who then reached out and started getting into the windows side of things and has done a phenomenal job of blowing that up. That has also led to, when you're talking about doors opening up, to contracts with you guys through some of the larger contractors here in town, mm-hmm. which also has caused us to pause a little bit and take a look at our commercial side with the larger projects. And we have recently teamed up with another large contractor on a joint venture to build a significant project here in town. And you're exactly right. It's those opportunities that present themselves, and you want to hesitate to hire people just because they have certain skills. You want to hire people to fit in the box that you have designed and the direction that you want this company to go. I call it having the right people on the bus. And honestly, we had some wrong people on the bus to begin with, and we had to make those changes. Sometimes painful, but it has to be done.
They may be a great person. They just don't fit the culture, the direction the company is going. So it's going back to really finding out and understanding your why. And my company's why is to be the best supplier, which is a key word. And that's one of the first words you see, because when I first started the company, we did turnkey installations. We did all this stuff. And we found it's all different businesses, just like replacing a couple windows in a house versus supplying a whole bunch of windows to a healthcare replacement job are two very different businesses, but you got to graduate and get there. So we're the best supplier of windows, doors, and hardware. Three products: windows, doors, and hardware. That's it. And anything else is, I call it outsourcing inside. And we have other people that we work together to do all those things. But those are the three product channels that we focus in. We're never going to be better than the big box that has everything. So we better be a boutique specialist. So the best supplier of windows, doors, and hardware to contractors, architects, and designers. So contractors, architects, and designers, a lot of talk about on the front of our door, should we have for the trade only? How do we channel to be the best supplier to Rise Construction? But it's all about ingraining your culture and understanding your why, to where you don't have to have a weird situation. You have to have a good system. So back to the best supplier of windows, doors, and hardware to contractors, architects, and designers in Colorado. We want to own everything up to that in Colorado. So then we're now in the phase of developing those relationships with people like Rise Construction. And Ken and I have had multiple discussions when you get a job with Mortenson and Turner and these big time builders that give you 400 pages of contracts that you really think their attorney team is putting it up for their suppliers and everyone else. It's about to protect them. Now it's surrounding yourself around good people that Ken has a lot more experience with the commercial contracts to say, I trust Rise. Rise trusts Mountain View Window and Door. Banner, the people, Adam and Banner, our sales reps, everybody trusts each other to where once you people buy from people that they like and trust. And now once we'd get that relationship built, those 400-page contracts seem a lot less scary when you're going in it together, as we're the best supplier. You guys are the best installer, and coming together, it creates a turnkey project that everybody can look good, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's our why, and that's taken me 5 years and a lot of people to help me understand that one sentence, that you can just spit out that one sentence, and I went to school for marketing, and I learned all these theories and concepts and your mission statement and your vision statement and your blah, 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 blah. I can go on and on and on, but no one ever explained what I just said, why I put that stuff together. And when once it really, I understood it after doing it for 15 years and driving my business to that. And now we're taking off. And now Kevin, as a sales manager, doesn't that really help you from the present owner of the company saying our why, that you can now go find the right sales team and the right subcontractors to implement?
No, absolutely it does, because you need to, sometimes in sales or business, the most important thing that you can say is no. So we're requested, we have requests all day long to do everything from A to Z. And sometimes the best thing you can say is no, so you can really focus on the things that you know are the important areas that you want to do business in and do that as well as you can. Because if you spread too thin and you try to help everybody, nobody's happy and you don't get that right result. So it's really critical. Absolutely.
Agreed. And learning to say no.
Oh, absolutely. It's not easy.
Is a huge concept, I think, for any startups. You have a tendency, like you were saying, Devin, to take all the work that comes in because you have to, in one sense. But very quickly, you learn that you shouldn't be taking a lot of this work in, and you start getting pickier about your customers and actually starting to choose your customers. You choose the companies that you want to align yourself with. And you guys had mentioned culture, too. I think that's a huge concept that's out there now. And I'm even a big advocate when we interview new people coming in that that's one of the first things we concentrate on is the culture. Will you fit in this company? We'll look at the resume next. But can you fit in this company? Because we made, you know, some initial hiring decisions that didn't work out. And it was a lot to do with the culture. It's a lot to do with, can you work with these people? Can you stand being around them 8 hours a day? Same situation you run into with joint ventures, like what we're working on now. The cultures have to match, and there has to be, an acceptance of both companies up and down the entire organization chain before this thing's going to work. You have to have the decision makers involved in the process. You've got to move forward with one voice in any kind of a joint venture or working with Mountain View. I think that's a lot of why our relationship works as well as it does, because the cultures are very similar. Everybody's very direct. There's no second guessing what's going on. And honestly, there's no game playing. Everybody's in this for the betterment of the entire group.
No, I think the culture aspect, we focus on that a lot. It's important to drill down into that. I'm curious kind of how, when you're looking at somebody new and you don't have the opportunity to spend a week with them or play golf with them for an afternoon or whatever the case may be, how do you get right to that as quickly as you can and come up with a conclusion as to whether they do fit your culture or not? I mean, a lot of people, I think, in this day and age, think of the big companies like Google and Facebook, you know, they have the culture of whatever it may be. When it's less visible, how do you define your culture to somebody that you're interviewing? And then how do you then ultimately determine whether there truly is a fit in your culture?
We actually patterned our interview process after a process that Richard Branson uses, which I'm sure you guys are familiar with Virgin Everything pretty much. He's got a phenomenal process. He actually conducts two interviews with all of his new employees. And the first one's a culture interview. And if they pass through the culture interview, then they move forward to the technical aspect of it. And a lot of times he'll move out of that process at that point to do the technical side of it, because then he doesn't even look at the resumes. He sits down, talks to them, see if they're going to be a good fit. He has very strict questions, has some great documents that he's put out there with some really good questions that help get down to that process.
What's the first question that comes to mind that you always ask?
Oh, I'd have to probably go back and look at it, but a lot of them have to do with, we all have problems. And you run into issues at work, and tell us about one of your worst problems you've ever had working with a company, and how did you deal with it? And they're very open-ended questions, and they alternate between a very open-ended question and then a yes-no answer. Huh. So you give them a simple question, yes or no, and then you ask them a very open-ended question. So it takes the interview a little bit like this, and it tends to get people a little more honest. Instead of having these canned answers, I'm a big proponent of having interview questions right in front of the people that are actually conducting the interview, too.
Well, that helps
you. So they don't have to think through it.
Exactly. And it helps if somebody else in your group is going through the process, you know that they're not off track. Everything is all kind of in the same bucket list of what you're trying to achieve.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And it allows you to focus on the candidate.
Yeah.
Instead of having to think through the questions. And you're exactly right, Kevin. You get off track.
Yeah.
You know, you run off these rabbit trails and start talking about things.
I think in any business, that is critically important. And yet, at the same time, it seems somehow to be more important in construction because always there are surprises that come up, right? So knowing how somebody anticipates an issue or handles an issue, I think is critically important.
Well, we're in the construction business, and the construction business, unfortunately, is full of hotheads, and that's something that I don't have much tolerance for. I know you don't. We can't have that going on, and unfortunately, that's a label that the entire construction business has had. The other thing that we run into is, my gosh, everybody's a general contractor. You know, my brother's a general, brother-in-law. He can handle this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Homeowners that want to go out, or business owners that want to go out and they want to try and do an office remodel, they don't understand that the problems that come up are part of the process. They're going to be problems. I don't know that we've ever built a building ever, any kind of project, where we didn't have to make some kind of modifications to the drawings.
That's actually the key to a good general contractor. I always say it's not a matter of if, it's when. But it's how you take care of it is how you have an executed proper project where everybody's happy. I mean, and we see it every day. There's the scream and yell, or there's let's get down and find a solution. And the people that scream and yell, they get it done. And a lot of, there's more of them than the let's try to keep even kilter. And I'm an expressive personality, so I have to keep myself in check and not be the scream and yell, because that doesn't – you may get it done that time, but it changes the whole culture of everything.
It absolutely does.
The other thing that happens in construction is we all rely on other people outside of our own companies too. And particularly in project management, there's only so many people on your payroll, and yet there's a number of people that you need to rely on to get the job done. And so that screaming process tends to create a situation where if it goes overboard, those subcontractors don't want to work with you, don't want to work for you. And so they get to you last, and it sort of works in reverse so that, you know, you don't get the end result that you're looking for.
That's exactly it. Our whole job, our entire company, revolves around the abilities of all of our subcontractors. And we don't have a lot of control over their scheduling, over their abilities, how they run their own individual companies. And the only way we can circumvent that is doing a great job of planning all our projects up front, scheduling these things out, doing all the planning so the project runs smooth, so everybody knows way ahead of time when they're supposed to be on the job, the buy-in on a construction schedule. It's a lot like some of the jobs that we work on with you guys. There's so much planning that goes in on the front end of this thing to make things run smooth. And it starts at the top, getting the contracts in place, the reviews, and working its way down to the technical, the project team that's going to be out there, you know, actually managing the project and getting it done.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you got to find the biggest pain and fix it. And piss poor planning equals piss poor execution.
That's exactly it.
And my whole business premise is about having really good tools and really good people to get it right on paper, to where our valued subcontractors, they're just out there doing their job. They're not out there saying, I'm out there to install the windows, but the window's the wrong size. It's really hard for them to execute their job. And that's where we really make them look good. And if we can have the proper stuff dialed in on, and I'm speaking on the supplier side, the kind of general contractor side, and those subcontractors will definitely want to work for you the next time, because time is money, and they're just out there calculating. If they're just out there working for someone who's keeping them busy and making them look good and setting them up, to me, that's a really key success for Rise Construction, who is taking products from Mountain View as the supplier and putting them in this job, that there's all these different parts coming together and having really good suppliers like Mountain View that will take the time and give you shop drawings and an execution plan in collaboration.
Absolutely. We've even added a coined phrase that's going on our business cards now. It's not what we do, it's how we do it. And a lot of that how we do it is the investment in systems, processes that we've put in place. We, over the last year, have made a huge investment in upgrading to Sage Construction software. That was a major undertaking for us, and we moved all of our proposals. We can automatically create AIA proposals, that type of thing, right out of our system, including scheduling, you know, personnel. We've got Construction Anywhere. The guys can actually put their time in right off their telephones. When they're on site, we know where they are all the time. It was a little bit of a culture shock for some of them, but it's worked, and it's worked really, really well.
So we love to peel back a layer on a tool or something, and you mentioned talking about Sage Construction. Why did you choose Sage over others? As that's a key thing right now, I think, is there's so much technology out there. And like you mentioned, it's a big learning curve. And once you choose one, it's really hard to change again and again. So it's kind of, you better, when you pick that one, you better make sure you're making a good decision, because it's not months, it's years until you find out if you made the right decision.
Agreed. Started Rise on QuickBooks software, which everybody's pretty familiar with. There's QuickBooks, Peachtree, Timberline, all these things that are out there. And very quickly realized that to really accurately track job costs, personnel costs, see where our price points are on different type services that we supply, we had to move to a larger, you know, accounting platform. I wasn't happy with the reporting that I could get, and moving to Sage made a huge difference. It's alleviated a lot of problems. It's fully accessible from anywhere, which is a big deal. When you're not a large company, the more automation you can get, the more access you can get from wherever you are really helps. I travel quite a bit. It allows me to stay in touch with everybody and everything that's going on in the company.
You know, we had somebody on the show recently that has just developed a construction app, and this is that they happen to be based in the Silicon Valley, but it's specifically for construction superintendents to coordinate. And that's the whole focus, is on collaboration and being able to cooperate and communicate with one another. It all sounds so simple. And in this day and age of technology, we all kind of assumed that that was pretty much a given. But what we've heard from this group that's been developing this app for just a few years, they're just now starting to see it take off. And here we are in 2016, and yet many people in the field were still not using smartphones.
Exactly.
Which is kind of hard to comprehend, but I guess they were so used to that old, what was it, Nextel walkie-talkie kind of a component, and didn't go away from it, you know?
I remember those Nextel phones because the push to talk.
Yeah.
And I actually shattered one of them in my office one day because we were having so much trouble with them. I got so mad at it and threw it down and actually broke the phone. But you're exactly right. Making that transition, and what it does is allow you, time's the only non-renewable resource we have. And as managers, owners, You have to learn how to leverage that, and leverage that in a really productive way and an effective way for your companies, because we still only have 24 hours in a day. I don't want to work 20 hours a day. I've been there, done that. I think there's a way that you can have a balance with your companies where our guys can take care of their families, they can enjoy, they can take their vacations. They still work very, very hard during the week. But it's the efficiencies that make all the difference in the world. So when they're there for 8 hours during the day, we're getting things done and not losing a lot of efficiencies there. So we're constantly modifying our systems, our processes. We actually document all of that in a systems and processes, you know, manual that we're putting together.
And back to your word culture, I think culture creates efficiencies. When you empower your people the right way and you tell them, I want you to get this done with clear expectations, but I also want you to have time with your family and go on this vacation from leadership role, I think it helps get a lot more done from the collective group than my way or the highway or scream and yell.
Couldn't agree more. It's how do you define success?
Yeah.
Is success the bottom line on your P&L and your balance sheets? I would argue that maybe not.
Yeah.
because you can't, that's not what's really important when all this is all said and done. What's really important is, did you build a company that the guys can afford to buy a new truck when they need it? They can take care of their family, they can have kids, and you know, they've got, they can afford health insurance, all those kind of things. And
but money does make things a little bit easier. And
absolutely,
if the business makes enough to actually stay in business, is really helpful too. So one thing I would challenge everybody to look at, and I welcome your thoughts on how you do it as far as pay. And we executed at Mountain View at the beginning of the year a profit sharing plan that the CFO of Mountain View, and it's done monthly, goes through all of the P&L, and we actually give a percentage based on where you're at in the company. It's not just a blanket thing, because there's different roles and levels within the company. But we do share that information to teach them how to run a successful business as a collective culture in the whole, not just a closed door meeting with the ownership and finance.
Agreed. We use multiple pay structures. Our sales guys, some of them are 100% commission. Some of our other guys are on a base salary plus commission that's based on certain pieces. It's broke down by estimate, you know, by sales, by estimating, and then project management. There's actually three pieces to it, depending on how much work they're doing. So it allows those guys that have that ability that can close the sale and then can put the estimates together and then can babysit the job all the way through the project management, they get a certain percentage based on each piece. And we've played around with those numbers. We started out where it was pretty even, and we've since adjusted those percentages. We watch them pretty close. You know, when we close books out every month, we take a look at all of that. And it also has provided a huge incentive for our guys.
Yeah.
Because they're realizing that, holy cow, I can really make some money. And it's a secure position for the company to be in, because our guys are motivated, and if a project goes really south, the company's not getting hurt as much, but
yeah,
they're really motivated to do whatever they can do to make these projects and get them turned around. Yeah, it also has put our guys in positions where they get partway through a project and something is going south, and they figure out a way to get it turned around and make the job profitable again. And the customers love it, our guys love it. And there are so many opportunities, especially on the larger projects, to make those adjustments as you're moving through the project.
Yeah,
and
we definitely share those
how
principles,
we do it.
Right?
Yeah, what's how we do it.
And in fact, that was the big thing for me, is how there's sales and logistics, and nothing happens till you sell something, but if you don't install and service it the right way, you're never going to get the next job. So those two things have to work in every company. You have to have the right stuff at the right place, but you better be able to execute it correctly. And having people like us in this room get paid for executing both sides of those fence. And actually, that's where we've put a lot of effort into, and I'm really proud of where we are. We rethought the whole thing from a company's perspective when we promoted Kevin to sales manager, because we kind of had, we had the executive level above that, but we didn't have that person really hitting those numbers and weekly hitting that. So Kevin, feel free to shed any light on that perspective of that.
It's really important to have, sounds like a cliche, teamwork, collaboration, communication, but it's just so fundamentally critical that you just have to do it, and it works for everybody. It's just like, Ken, you described having a situation where somebody's out in the field and they run into a problem. Unless they are empowered to a level, now it doesn't mean you go out and do whatever the heck you want, but obviously empowered to a degree to solve that problem and or at least come up with solutions that then get approved by management, all you have is problems, and you don't get to the point of being able to move the collective ball forward on the playing field a little bit. And to me, it's critical. It really is. And to have it set up where it's at least pretty open and transparent is critical as well, because if it becomes something that you've got all these groups and different conversations, then you're really not working like a team. And
definitely,
then you get the bad results. So
agreed. And you need to think outside the box.
Always.
A lot of times.
Always.
That's
like part of your marketing campaign is running a podcast.
Exactly.
Hello.
Hi, is this the Art of Construction podcast?
Yeah, it sure is.
I've listened to a lot of your podcasts, and I really want to let you guys know how I feel on a review. How do I do that?
All you need to do is leave us a rave review on iTunes, and then one of the things that we're doing right now as a gesture of our appreciation is we're going to send you a copy of the E-Myth book that we're always talking about on the podcast. But in order to do that, we need you to take one further step. Just simply go to our website, theartofconstruction.net, go to the contact tab, leave us your information, let us know that you left that rave review on iTunes, and then we'll pop a book in the mail to you. How about that?
That sounds great.
Definitely sounds great. Devin here, present owner of Mountain View Window and Door and the host of The Art of Construction. And I'm going to personally reach back to you. Whenever you reach out, let's have a phone conversation, email, go-to meeting, whatever is most convenient for you, because I truly want to help you grow your business, and we'll talk about what the right book is for you, and we'll help grow our business together. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to buying a bunch of books and getting a lot of great reviews.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the key is not micromanaging your jobs and having your superintendents that are not micromanaging their jobs. They have a lot of reporting responsibility back to the office, but it comes down to those systems and processes. If we have them set up, we've got the scope of work defined really well. The superintendents know their role, which is very well defined in our organization, and we're constantly modifying it, but they have strict responsibilities that they have. They know the box that they're in, and we don't like that box being real small. We like that box being pretty large and them having the freedom to move around in there, but they need to know when they've got to contact the office. We don't want to get inundated with a lot of ridiculous calls in the office. We've put in software to assist with a lot of this called Basecamp 3, if anybody's familiar with that. It's a fantastic project communication software that is on our phones, all our computers, and it allows our clients, it allows our subcontractors that are involved in a job to simply send a text out, and it notifies the entire project team instantly. We can put to-do lists out there. You can load documents and files. You mentioned having smartphones on the job. It's almost critical that all of our guys have smartphones on their jobs, to the point that we'll even buy them for them.
So I go back to the show with Fieldwire, and he basically says that's the future. And we've also had Dennis Schaefer on the show that said websites, he thinks, are going to be a thing of the past because everyone's literally going to live on their smartphone, and all these apps and things that are all tied together is how people are going to live and get information. It's like last night I got an email about this new wristband that shoots a light up your arm, and then your arm now
is a keyboard.
Is your deal. So cool. It's kind of like it's taking all this stuff to the next level. So they have like 10 different colors, and it just shoots a laser, and it also sends. So all now your arm becomes the sensor, and you can just hit a button, and now your arm shows you everything on your arm. So if you can make it simple enough, these guys that we would gladly supply the tools if the tools were necessary to the job. If you're a subcontractor that doesn't have a smartphone at this point, you're letting a brick wall build up that you're not going to be able to knock down if you don't stay enough with the trends.
That's exactly it. And you can't leverage that available time that you have without having some kind of technical assistance because your competitors are using it.
The big trick is in our industry is a lot of the trades or the people that are actually on the job site framing or masons are not, they may not even speak English, and so there's a whole nother thing that we have to work through with that.
We've been using Google Translate actually on our phones, which works pretty well. We have a lot of drywall contractors, you know, a lot of the subs that some of the guys that are actually out in the field that don't speak English real well, and honestly, a lot of our superintendents don't speak Spanish very well either. They get by, but those tools are there, and it's made life a lot easier for all of our guys.
It's interesting. I was just on a job site this morning talking to the general contractor, and they actually have one of their subcontractors is from China. He is an electrician, and that's how they communicate with him. So it's kind of interesting that that's kind of a common platform. But they said the thing that they're amazed with is he's been in the United States 6 years. He's the hardest worker they've ever seen, the smartest guy they've ever seen. He fits into that culture of just getting the job completed and raising his hand if there's any questions or problems. So, you know, you talked about that a little bit too in terms of just simple communication. I mean, it made me think back to when I was a general contractor, and the thing that was always the most frustrating in being in the office is when you find out that there's this crisis, but you find it out 2 or 3 days later. Those are 2 or 3 great opportunity days to solve the problem that now all of a sudden it went from a molehill to a big old 14er mountain that you got to solve this bigger issue. So it's just amazing that talk a little bit about how you deal with that in the interview process and the culture and making sure you don't get those kind of people. Because honestly, what I found was that the kind of people that have done it their way for however long, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 or more years, they don't want to do it your way. And the quicker you find that out, the better it seems like you can avoid those kind of pitfalls.
Well, in terms of the culture, we talk a lot about, similar to the way you started this podcast, what do you like to do? We like to find out are they active? Do they get outside? What do they do? What's their favorite bar?
Yeah, what makes them tick?
That's exactly what you want to know, is what makes them tick. You really want to know the person that's going to be working for you. You're going to get to know them either way, and the more you can find out in the interview process up front, the easier it is for everybody. You want them to be comfortable. If you do offer them a job, they come to work for you, you want them to get comfortable as quickly as you can. So you need to get those nerves out of the way so that they can start getting plugged into the job. Training has to be there. But those questions are a little bit more personal in nature, and it's more, what do they like? What are they about? What makes them tick?
So we always like to ask the same questions every show, is what is the most unique construction project you've done in the past 12 months?
We built a bridge. I took one of the superintendents. We built a wood bridge that was based on an old Oriental, like, split scissor design up in Snowmass, Colorado. Built it entirely out of wood to span over a large irrigation ditch. And this thing was built literally with, it's 2x8s, and will handle the weight of a medium-sized tractor to drive over the top of it. It's very cool, and the design is literally ancient. Came from China. Mm. And we found the design on a website we were looking at. We ordered some plans, and then we just built the thing in the shop and hauled it up there in a bunch of pickups and put it together. It was unique. Yeah, built it in the middle of the winter, which was a little bit of a struggle just getting around, trying to get the material down to where it was because there wasn't a road there really close. But it turned out really interesting, and it was a fun project, but a little bit out of the box.
What about the most challenging aspect or project in the past 12 months? Well, that's what we really like to listen and learn, have our guests learn from on the art.
Most of the things we've been working on haven't been real extreme challenges, more of it related to putting some of these deals together with some of these larger contractors. That was a learning experience, particularly for a lot of my guys, because they're used to working on these smaller projects, and now they're working with a contractor that is one of the larger contractors even in the United States, and learning to work with their project managers and not being too intimidated by them, and knowing that we have a lot to offer even for these larger contractors, and we have a service that we can supply that is valuable to them, and working through that process with our guys.
Well, the last thing we always leave, if there's one marketing gold thing that you can leave our listeners that to take to the bank that they can go execute tomorrow, what's the one thing of growing up in the construction industry that you'd say this is a must do or information you'd want to give?
I like the marketing idea, and knowing their numbers, I guess, is critical, I think, to any business, particularly starting up, and knowing your marketing numbers. We have a product called Nutshell that is out there, and any given day we can pull together exactly what our salesmen have done, how many leads they've processed, what the average dollar amount is, days to close, all of that. And that's been huge for us in developing our pipeline of incoming work. We know exactly what their closure rate is by salesman, and we watch that religiously on a day-to-day basis. So it's knowing your numbers. So many of the companies that we talk to, you ask them, well, how much did you do? Everybody says, well, yeah, I did $100 million last year. What's your profit margin? And I get subcontractors all the time that have no idea.
They don't know if they actually made money.
They don't a lot of times, which is astonishing to me. But I'm a numbers guy, so it's something that's curious to me, because I think anybody that's going out there to start a business, or particularly start a construction company, you need to know your numbers.
And if you're not really good with numbers, get someone else in your organization that is. I'm not. I'm an expressive. I'm a sales guy, big picture, pushing the envelope. You got to have someone to dot the I's, cross the T's, and have a system that everyone's playing. And so I hired a CFO and a bookkeeper and multiple people and outsource inside to get up to that position, because those people will save you a lot more money than they will cost you.
Absolutely. To get the right people on the bus.
Yeah, I'm the same way as you, Devin. I've always been a sales guy, but when I was a general contractor, my part was a CFO by background and by training, and that just saved my bacon, I'll tell you what, because you just learn so much about those details that you don't ever really focus on when you're a sales guy. So, yeah. But it is critical. And I think construction, too, is a lot more complicated oftentimes than people give it credit for in terms of that, because there's just a lot of moving parts. And unless you really have your grasp and your kind of focus around that, you could easily end up in a situation where you get to the finish and there isn't anything left in the kitty.
And that happens fast.
Yeah.
Well, Rise is definitely moving up the ladder, and we value your guys' relationship. And thanks for taking the time to come into Studio MBWD and kind of telling our local story to a global mission.
Well, I appreciate you having me too, Devin. And Kevin, thanks for inviting me down here.
Well, Devin, I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what, there was a lot of great information from Ken there talking about how they're approaching the marketplace. What did you think?
Yeah, that was really fun for me to sit back and watch us developing and understanding our why and then putting the power in our own people, like Adam Sinclair, who's my sales rep, that we always say, you're your own business within the business, and you need to go out and find your key strategic partners out there that are helping you grow your business within Mountain View's business. But how do you do that with your business if the business you're working for, you don't know who they are? So that was really rewarding for me to have us really ingraining a culture and a vision that we're driving the right principles and practices through to have a customer come in here and say, yeah, that's what you're doing and it's working. And they're doing a great job by Mountain View being really good at a few things, being the best supplier and having people like that to be the best at installing the product.
I like hearing a little bit about how they approach a couple of things. One is for Rise looking at prospective people coming into their organization and focusing on the culture of the company, and then peeling that back a little further to hear that they're utilizing some of the key platforms that Richard Branson uses. And, you know, it's, to me, that's just fascinating. And yet, you also hear from him about how it's been successful. They started out and they had to part ways with a few people because they didn't have that process in place. And now they've got all of those procedures kind of laid out that they know will work. And now they can focus on exactly that. How do we take this successful business, focus on the things that are the most successful, and really focus on those to drive it further north?
Definitely. And that's my call to action for both my company and people listening is let's get that list of Richard Branson. Talk about a guy who knows how to build a company and hire people. So I think we should definitely take some tricks out of his book.
And look to the show notes as well for details on that, because we're going to put as much information on that subject as we can find. So
if you want to learn about scuba diving, if you want to learn about going to Richard Branson to take a few things, Sage Construction, Basecamp software,
Nutshell.
Every show, we have a fireside chat and so many things that you can truly take to the bank, contractors and architects, to grow your business.
You have been listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to help grow your business. To listen to more, please go to www.mtnview.us and click on the podcast tab. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, and thanks for listening.